Hey guys, I'm out here with Julie Heyer from Aqua Jeep. She has been kind enough to let me go on a ride with her and show me what her Jeep's all about. We're going to talk about her Jeep, her build, how she got into this. And then hopefully we're going to get into a little bit of, you know, the Jeep versus UTV type thing and kind of figure out how we can help bridge that gap. But, oh, right now we're heading up West Rim. Oh, I would have bottomed out on that for sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's the first ledge on West Rim, but she's going to drive around and I'm going to hold on for dear life and pretend I'm not scared to be in this top heavy.
I'm not the most gentle shifter when I'm in low, unfortunately.
That's all right. No, it's just the height is a little bit.
You're not used to being down a little low.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you should try being in Matt's Jeep. It's even worse.
We'll get him.
Really high.
We'll get him. But anyways, so we were talking a little bit earlier. Tell me how you got into this. You said this is your first Jeep.
This is my first Jeep.
We'll post some videos of it. This doesn't look like beginner Jeep material. I'll say that.
Now, I've had her for a little over 5 years now, and she's gone through 4 different builds in that time. This, I hope, is her last build. I don't want to do it again. But, she was 2018 Jeep Wrangler JLU. She's a sport, so she's not even a Rubicon. And she's a 6-speed. So she was pretty Jeep, actually. She was a leftover. It's the first year they made the JLU model, and I bought her in the summer of 19, so she was almost a year old when I got her. And nobody wanted a black manual transmission. We don't usually do like straight West Rim. When we come over here, we play around on faulty a little bit and everybody everywhere. So
nice.
We don't usually just do actual trail. But
right now, I'm like, oh my gosh, we are so tall. We're gonna tip over.
Well, you only say that because I have twice.
Okay.
I have rolled twice, but I won't roll today.
Oh gosh,
I did that in third gear. That's why I was struggling. I'm like, right now my engine is on its last leg, so I'm only running 5 out of 6 cylinders currently. So because of that, I'm not used to having any power. So I have to ride my clutch a bit these days, unfortunately. But
yeah, so you got a new engine that you're going to get installed by 23 Diesel.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What's your guys' connection with them? Because if I remember talking to you, you're like, we're so excited. These guys finally moved here. Do you just know them, friends from the internet, as they say? Or?
Yeah, basically, we met maybe 3 or 4 years ago. His wife, Chrissy, has a white Jeep with Tiffany blue accents on her Jeep, and she calls her Jeep Tiffany. So we met on social media because we have wonderful taste in colors, and our Jeeps look so good together. So we actually met – the first time we got to go out wheeling with them is at EJS a couple years ago, went out on the pickle with them, and it was just so much fun having another female driver to go out and hang out with. And then she brought her husband, and her husband's name is Mark, and he's got a really cool CJ. He calls it the Black Pearl. And so we're out there with him, and then Mark and Mike are the co-owners of 23 Diesel. And so Mike has a really cool Jeep called Honcho. So we got to wheel with them a couple years back, and then ever since then we just stayed friends, and we get together when we can and wheel whenever we're nearby. And they were living in Grand Junction, Colorado all that time, and that's where their shop was. And then they were talking about moving out here too. And, you know, they came out for, like, Thanksgiving last year, so we had Thanksgiving together. So we've just been friends for a long time. And they finally moved this summer, which was, I mean, moving stinks for anybody, but moving an entire shop, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Moving an entire shop is a freaking nightmare. So these guys killed themselves all summer long moving everything, and we just couldn't wait for them to get here because I desperately need a shop, but they're also our good friends. So, and they're
That's
amazing.
Good.
They're like MacGyver. They can do and fix anything. They're absolutely amazing people. They can fix you on the trail. So if you're out wheeling with them, like Mike rebuilt my fuse one time for my lockers while we were on the trail together. And like, just like they're crazily amazing people and just the nicest people. And Mark's my favorite spotter on a trail with him. He's always smiling when he spots you. Like he's got you, you know, about to fall off to your death, and he's got a big grin on his face the whole time. And you know it's getting spicy when he brings out his camera because he wants to capture that crazy moment he's put you in. So they're just really good people and just really fun, and they're amazing mechanics too. And super fair prices too. Man, our area has desperately needed some more shops, and I don't know if we're single-handedly keeping them open right now because I've been in there a lot since they got here, but we're really excited they're here.
That's awesome. Yeah, I didn't. So I just didn't know the connection there, but that's cool to know. Like, yeah. I've seen Honcho, seen the Black Pearl off-road cars.
Aren't they cool rigs? I know.
They're
yeah,
sweet.
That's right. Yeah, they've had those rigs for a really long time, so they have a lot of history with them, and they're the ones who have built them up from scratch, and they've rebuilt them a few times, poor Mark's frame's kind of in disarray currently again. So my frame went, ripped apart my frame a couple weeks ago at the end of Trail Hero. So I took it to him, and he's like, oh, you've come to the right place. He's rebuilt his own frame multiple times. So he's like, he's ready for me.
He knows what's up.
Yeah, well, he did his frame again last week. So he's got to make up some, I don't know if he's going to do what he's going to do. He's got some creative solutions coming for own frame situation.
Nice. So speaking of frames, speaking of your Jeep and all that, what all is done to this? Because, like I say, as a beginner Jeep, you're like, okay, not really. Beginner Jeeps don't start on 40s. So.
No. She said 35s, 37s, and now 40s. It's, currently, she's got Dynatrac Elite Pro Rock 6080 axles with 538 gears and ARB lockers in her. She's running the RPM steering, 3-link front, and double triangulated rear suspension. She's got Bilstein coilovers on her and Hyperco coil springs. And then I've got Genrite armor all over her. So her sliders, her doors, her corner armor, my fenders, they're all from Genrite. And my cage is from Genrite.
Okay, I was going to ask because it's...
You like my cage?
I love your cage. It works super good with your underwater theme for Trunk or Treat. It was
Who
so
doesn't
great?
Like sparkles, man? My husband did not like the sparkles. When I brought it home, I don't know about that. I'm like, and that's why you have your Jeep and I have my Jeep. And I will choose what I want and you choose what you want. I'm not sure if I'm going the right way here.
Yeah, so you can actually go two ways.
Okay.
This way is easier than that way.
Oh, okay. I think normally we go that way. But
we get better views this way.
I say this is really pretty over here.
Yeah. I'm going to roll down the window if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
Video.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got a lot done with this, but... I guess my question would be what?
Oh, I'm sorry. And they're Baja Boss Mickey Thompson tires.
They are
40-inch ones. That's my foundation that they get me done. They've been great. I've been with Mickey Thompson for 4 years and had their 37-inch all-terrain tires, which I got to say were amazing. I wheeled the heck out of those things. I don't see a whole lot of people wheeling their all-terrains. And I'll be honest, if they'd had 40-inch ones, I probably would have stayed with them. I liked them that much.
Yeah.
But the Mickey Thompson Baja Boss MTs that have been around forever are what I'm running now. That's what Matt has. He's got the 42-inch ones on his Gladiator. They're just great tires. I mean, I daily drive my Jeep, too. I highway drive it and daily drive it and wheeler pretty much every weekend. And these tires have never let me down.
Are they DOT or are they stickies?
Yeah, no, they're DOT.
Okay, cool. That's actually something I'm looking into for my stuff right now. They don't make DOT tires for side-by-sides, but I've been looking at durometers, trying to be like, how sticky can I go without tearing it up? Because I still drive on the street, too.
Well, they wear down so fast if they're so soft, right? I mean, I don't know how long yours last if you're taking it on the road at all, but it's tricky to keep up with all that.
Well, for sure. And then in a UTV, they're constantly spooled in the rear. So corners on asphalt.
Right.
Make things rough.
Yeah, I hear it chirping.
I'll try and slow down by your house next time so it doesn't chirp.
Oh, no, not you. I mean, in general with the razors and the side-by-sides, I can hear them chirping.
Yeah. So of all the things, what is your favorite, maybe not the most functional, but what's your favorite thing you've done to this? You said the start is black.
Yeah, so, no, it was – oh, sorry. Yeah, so the first – 4 years I had her, I had a vinyl wrap on her, a 3M vinyl wrap, which is very similar. It's actually the color of the dash. That's the wrap right now. So that was the original color. And then I rolled her in December of last year. And when I went to get her fixed, they were going to paint the body back to black on your side. That was the first damaged side. And my friend Randy said to me, she goes, why don't you see if they'll just paint it aqua instead of having to wrap it? Because I had a wrap company in town, Exclusive Wraps in Tint, who I love, and they were going to work with me on wrapping it after I got her back. She's like, why do you want to wrap it again? Why don't you just see if they'll paint it aqua? I'm like, well, they're only painting half the Jeep. She's like, well, see if they'll just work with you and you can like pay them part of it or whatever. And that's what they did. They agreed to paint her. And so I had to go through the whole fun process of finding a color, and finding the exact color was almost impossible. Oh my gosh, so much back and forth.
Were you trying to match the, because you had the existing wrap, so you were trying to match that color?
I kind of wanted the existing wrap color, but I wanted some like sparkle in it. You might have noticed I like sparkle. But I couldn't find anything that I liked. But, and I think the way that worked out, and I don't know, maybe the paint place we were working with, but the deal was is that it had to be an existing color. They couldn't just match. They couldn't just create a paint necessarily to match the wrap color, which I kind of thought they could, but I guess they can't. So I ended up having to go way, way back to find the color that I wanted and came up with the color that we have now, and I absolutely love it. And
yeah, it's super unique, if nothing else.
Right. Yeah, she's pretty distinct. So, you know, if I have to pick one thing that really sets her apart, it would be her color, I think.
Yeah, well, it's good that you know, your Aqua Jeep, it checks out.
Well, you know, it's so funny. Like, when I chose the name, started my Instagram like 5 years ago, because when I got my Jeep, I didn't know anyone that owned a Jeep. I didn't know anything about off-roading. I had never been on a dirt trail. I didn't know anything.
Really?
Like, back in college, we went on the sand one time, got stuck in the sand, my roommate and I, in her Jeep. That was the extent of my off-road experience at the time. So, people are like, well, just, you know, make a social media page and you'll meet all these other people who are into the same thing you're into. I'm like, okay, I'll try that. So I did. And, you know, my grown daughters had to make my first few posts for me because I was that bad at Instagram. And it's not an intuitive platform. And I'm not 25 years old. It was just not my scene. I'm like, this is stupid. Why am I doing this? You know? And then I started picking up followers and meeting wonderful people. And it was just kind of a crazy, it just kind of took off from there. People were like, wow, it's atypical to see a pretty colored Jeep out there. And I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And all during COVID, we went out and did like forest roads, and we did these trails to the lake in Arizona where we lived at the time. Yeah. And I liked a little rock crawling, and then I did a little more rock crawling, and then I had to build it a little bit bigger because I wanted to do more rock crawling. And
the addiction slowly takes over.
Yeah, like I'm like the most cautious person in the world. Like I am not an adrenaline junkie. I don't do roller coasters. I'm not a fun person. I'm very cautious. I don't drive fast. I don't take risks. I'm not like a bungee cord or any of that kind of crazy people stuff. I don't do any of that. I'm very cautious. So the fact that I enjoy somewhat sketchy rock crawling surprises me probably more than anyone else, because it's very not my personality. But I really, really like the technical side of rock crawling. I like seeing an obstacle and trying to figure out a way through it. And, you know, I really especially like being told I can't do something.
Oh, yeah?
There's a little side of me that really likes to people that I can. So
it gets under your skin and just kind of you're like, no, we'll figure it out.
It's tamped down, but that's there still. Like I definitely worked in the man's world for my whole career, and I was raised by – I have two brothers, and my dad was a sports coach, and he taught me, do anything guys can do, only better, you know. He's like, he never held me back at all. He was always my biggest fan. So I grew up with that mentality in a generation that probably wasn't all that big fans of that mentality. And people are always like, oh – in the beginning, when I first had my Jeep, you know, we'd go wheeling or whatever, and we'd get out of the Jeep, and they'd be like, oh, you're driving it? The woman was driving it? Like, they all thought Matt was driving it or something. I'm like, no. I'm like, he's not really allowed to drive it.
It's called Aqua Jeep. You thought Matt named it that?
Yeah. Well, actually, he's Aqua Jeep guy now, so he...
I know. He switched.
He's given up and taken on my name, but...
he's gotten... So. Yeah, there you go. You might have his last name, but he's got your Instagram
handle. Exactly. So. Like, you notice he's got blue stripes now, right?
Yep.
Can't beat them, join them, buddy. So it's just been a really fun, like, this isn't the typical, we're not the typical wheelers in that, you know, I didn't grow up in a wheeling family. I, you know, I didn't start out when I was younger. I started at 50 years old. I mean, like, that's very unusual. And I freely admit it. But you know what? What the heck else are you going to do? This is the best freaking life. I wish I had found it sooner. I wish my older girls had been out on the trail every weekend. You know, I wish we camped and hiked and stuff, but this is way better. So I kind of wish that I'd gotten into it a lot younger. And that's what I tell everybody. They're like, what's your advice? I'm like, do it now.
Yeah, start now.
Don't wait. I waited way too freaking long. And all of our lives are so much better because of this. So.
Yeah. I get whenever I post something that's like, hey, you should go, like, do this off-road thing, I always get those like snarky comments. They're like, "Oh yeah, if everybody just nice. Had, if everybody just had $40,000 or whatever."
Yeah, I get that a lot too.
But the reality is, when I started in off-road stuff, it was in a '96 Bronco that I bought for $3,000. Which, granted, $3,000 isn't an insignificant amount of money, but you can find a way to make that happen, or just
exactly
like, get out and hike. And that thing, like, did we know what we were doing? No. Did we have fun? Yes. It was.
Exactly.
That's all that it was.
And did you learn a lot? You always learn a lot.
Yeah. Did I learn how to fix things? Yes, because it was a $3,000 Bronco. But but that like has helped me later on, you know?
Right. And I think that, you know, I hear that a lot. Must be nice, right?
Yeah.
People say that to us all the time. You know, more money than brains or blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. It's like, tell me you don't have a hobby that you spend money on. Tell me there isn't something in your life that you invest in. We all invest in something. Right?
Yep.
We're old enough now, and we're, whatever you want to call it, wise enough now, maybe. Time is short. You can always make more money, just cannot make more time.
Yeah.
And I don't have, I don't ever regret a day on the trail. I have never once come home from wheeling and been like, oh, what a waste of time that was.
Ooh,
you know?
We differ. I have.
I have days
that I regret in the moment, but then a week later, I'm like, okay, that was a ton of fun, actually.
Okay.
Yes, we were snowed in. Yes, it was sketchy getting out.
Oh,
yeah.
Crap. No, I don't do snow.
It's type two fun, right?
Like, I'm a fair weather wheeler. My two roles I could do without, but I learned a lot from them both.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, I mean, maybe I'm making up for lost time because I'm out every week, at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. So I wheel 60, 70 days a year.
Yeah.
You know, most.
Well,
and I do,
us as well. We're here.
There's a lot of people who have Jeeps and they only take them out if they take them out once a year, twice a year, you know, and they may have been wheeling for 30 years, but only going out twice a year, I've probably hit more trails than you have, you know?
Well,
and
you're only going out twice a year. You're not getting the cycles. Like you don't get the repetitive hours, you know? And I think that's something that's incredibly, beneficial for where we live here, right next to Sand Hollow.
Oh, yeah, we are super spoiled. Well, that's why we live here, right? I mean,
well, yeah, that's same. I was gonna
that's
ask.
Why we moved here, I'm sure. I don't know. How long have you been here?
We've only been here 3 years, but that's the exact same thing. We found ourselves, like, we're here every 3 months.
Yeah, we would visit 3 or 4 times a year, same thing.
Yep. And so we'll just come. Like, we'll just move there. Why not?
Yeah. No, it's my husband has been trying to get me to go for a couple of years before I finally moved. And, you know, we had a good life. It wasn't as good as it is now, but it was a good life. It wasn't like we were suffering.
Oh, these UTV drivers.
Come on through, dude. I'm in a nice wide spot.
Yeah.
If I have a wide spot, I don't care if I'm going up or down. I know what the rules are supposed to be. But if I'm going up or down, I let them go. Eh. So.
I don't. Downside to these, I have no idea what they just said.
I just wave and smile.
Yep. I think they were trying to tell us about something, but...
Were they?
Oops. I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll be all right. But, yeah, we'll be at the downside to being this color and probably the only one wheeling that is this color. I'm easily recognizable by people.
Yeah.
And I don't always know who it is that's waving at me or, you know, sometimes I'm kind of like... who is that? I have a friend with a gray Jeep, and he always makes fun of me because I discriminate on gray Jeeps because I can't tell whose gray Jeep is whose because they kind of all look the same to me, and he gets really mad at me. He's like, how do you not know it's me? I'm like, it's a gray Jeep, dude. I'm like,
you're driving the white Toyota Sienna of the Jeep world.
Exactly. I'm like, there's so many, and they all kind of look the same. I'm like, do something. Put something on your windshield. Do something to make it look a little different for me, you know? Like, he always gets really, like, he'll come to an event, and I don't even know he's in town or whatever, and he'll pass me on the road, and I do the traditional Jeep wave, you know?
Yeah.
And he'll message me later, like, that was me! Why did you wait for it? I'm like, oh my gosh, he's so funny. I'm like, dude, I didn't realize it was you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I tried.
I know.
But, yeah, that's one of the things that I think is, to go back to what we were talking about before, like, I think this is, like, a really cool place. That I think, I don't know if I want to say it's restricted. I will say you have to have a certain, like you have to be committed to moving here. Because there's no industry, but it's harder, right?
No work here, yeah.
But it is such an amazing spot that, like I say, we're super fortunate that my wife and I both work remotely. and we can come here. But I will say, like, this has been, like, the best off-road community I've ever been around. And that goes for everybody. That goes for the Jeep people, the motorcycle people, side-by-side people. I feel like there's, like, kind of a special, like, aside from that about it earlier. Like, we all kind of realize the gem we have in our backyard.
The specialness of it. Yeah, no, I agree.
And it, we all kind of, like, work together on it. But
we want to protect it, and we want to honor it, kind of, you know. Like, and I do think there's a lot more unity here than I've had. Like, we were only in Arizona before this, so I don't feel like there's as much unity there with the side-by-side community and the Jeep community as there is here. I really think, at least the community we found, and I don't know, sometimes I think it's what you put in is what you get out sometimes with people,
yeah,
too. And we tend to get along with everyone, and we try to get along with everyone. And I would like to believe that that's how everybody behaves, but not everybody does. Okay, so which way do I go?
Which
here?
One do you want to do?
Oh, can I just go through there?
I don't know. You're pretty wide, and I think there's a big rock in the middle of that guy.
Yeah, there's a big rock.
I think
so
this is
that
the
way?
Main way.
This is the main one? Okay. We did this in... is that the trail, or what is this?
No, this is
these are the
main,
toll booths, right?
Yes, this is toll booths.
Okay.
This is the main, like, path, but you could easily go up that one. I'm unfortunately still thinking about things in terms of, like, 32-inch tires. And so I'm like, oh, you can't do that way, but, like, you for sure could. it's a little narrow.
Little wide.
Yep, you might maybe take passenger up this side. Rather than squeeze it?
I'm almost through.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so I think about things totally differently. Because, like I said, the one over there, you could just walk up. But in my side-by-side, I will 1,000%.
There's a toll booth one, I think, is the one that has the cool off-camber. There's, like, an obstacle there.
It for sure does.
Yeah, I've done that one. I just did that one not too long ago. We came out and ran part of this, and then we took it over to Faulty Towers. Or maybe it was coming back. I don't know. But I did toll booth one, like, 2 years ago at Trail Hero. It was hailing and raining the day we did this trail. So we got, like, literally to here and then turned around and went back. Because I was had my aluminum roof and my half doors, and we were frozen solid, and the kids were crying. You know, it's one of those days. So, like, we've had enough fun for today.
Yeah. Well, we can start heading back if you want to. I don't know where this rolls to, this goes back. I don't know if there's another.
I think this goes back to where we just were, right?
It does.
Okay.
But.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Oh, look how beautiful this is, though. Holy crap.
I know.
I love this area because I love the red rock so much. We go over to, like, Johnny's Hot Tub a lot over here and stuff.
Yeah, same. I like that spot because, for me, the sand dune is right there below.
Yeah.
So I can play on
you
that.
You like the sand.
The
See, I'm anti-sand. I hate sand.
Well, you got a little.
I got a heavy Jeep and a little baby engine. That's right. And I've been stuck in the sand more than once. And it's so everybody else looks at the sand like it's this fun thing. I look at it as a way to get the freak off the mountain from my rocks back to civilization. You know, and everyone else is like, it's so much fun to go play in the sand. I'm like, not for me. And I only have 5 cylinders firing right now, so I don't really get much fun. Thank you very much.
LS swap.
I'm gonna try to GoFundMe to LS swap me someday.
Let's do it.
My husband has these great plans. He's a little delusional, my husband. But, all right, now how do I get back out that way?
Same way we came in.
Okay.
But,
it all starts to look the same.
It does.
But I just don't have, when they told me my engine wasn't going to last, I'm like, right before Trail Hero, I'm like, So we started looking at even just the 3.6, you know, to buy a replacement used one, you know, and they're like, we'll get you a nice low mileage one with 50,000 miles on it. I'm like, oh my gosh, how's that low mileage? And a friend saw my post about it and reached out and was like, hey, I saw you need an engine. He's like, I have mine that I pulled out of my Gladiator if you want it. And I'm like, oh, dude, that'd be awesome. Like, how much you want for it? He's like, would it be okay if I just gave it to you? And Matt and I are both like, and so most people didn't realize it, but that was the day that Matt had gotten the email that he was getting laid off from work.
Oh, yeah.
So that was like a really rough day. And so he was getting laid off. And then I got the call from Mark and Mike saying, hey, your engine's not repairable. It's going to need to be replaced. I'm like, okay, one, two, hit. I'm like, okay, not my favorite Friday ever.
It comes in threes, I guess, is what they say.
right? So then, you know, he reached out and he's like, hey, you know, I want to give you my engine. I'm like, oh my gosh, that would be amazing. Thank you. And he's like, yeah, it's got 54 miles on it. I'm like, oh, like 54,000 miles. He's like, no, 54 miles. And I'm like,
oh,
what?
Wow.
He's like, I brought it home from the dealership and pulled it out and put a Hemi in.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, seriously? I'll show you how bad I am in the sand.
That wasn't bad at all.
Okay, so that wasn't really soft. Usually the sand, when it's over there, it's been so soft lately, my Jeep just sinks, man. It's brutal. That wasn't very soft.
We've had some rain.
Yeah, that does help. We needed it too, man. I have not liked the sand the last few days. But, yeah, so he not only did he offer me his engine, he brought it out and delivered it to 23 Diesel for me during Trail Hero. Like, he literally put it on his trailer, drove it out from Colorado. I was like, and his name is Tom. Tom and Sarah, they're off-road affair. They have a YouTube and Facebook and Instagram, and they are lovely, lovely people.
That sounds amazing.
Absolutely blown away. They're just so kind. So that was like one of those cool days, because it was like, okay, did not start off great. I'm not gonna lie. It's your job, and now your engine's blown. And my Jeep is like the family vehicle. So this is the car that we take on all of our road trips. This is my grocery getter. This is my everything. So I'm like, okay, well, we really do need to do something about that engine, because that's got to keep running.
We have to still function as humans.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, I guess I could do grocery delivery for a while. And I'm like, really going to need the vehicle, though. Oh, yeah, it was amazing. So I'm like, okay. I'm like, not to put too much faith into it, but I was kind of like, okay, God, I get it. It's going to be okay, right? You know, kind of like, you know, things look a little dicey right now, but I think it's going to be all right. So,
well, that's the thing. You just keep moving forward, and stuff tends to, if you don't give up, things will eventually work out.
Right, exactly.
That's the kicker.
But I have a lot of faith, and I feel like we've been given so much. And this is like, so I operate under what I refer to as the attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
So, and I try to instill it in our children. Like, we have been very blessed. I mean, we work hard. Don't get me wrong. Like, we started from nothing. I put myself through college. Like, you know, Matt has his GED and provides for our whole family with his GED, you know? So we're not generational. Like, no one's given us anything. Anything we have, we've worked hard for. And we appreciate it because of that, I think. And we don't take anything for granted. This life that we live, this beautiful place that we live, we're just super thankful for all of it.
Yeah, for sure. It's, like I said, this place is just so unique. Like,
it really is. It's like
and
magical.
Not just the scenery, like you were saying before, the people, everything is just kind of crazy. But that kind of
all just,
go ahead.
Good. It's all just and welcoming. Like, you know, we moved here a year and a half ago. And we have more friends now than we've had in ages. Just including us, which is so nice. So.
Yeah, well, that's everybody's like, hey, we're hitting the trail at 7, be at the water tanks. Or, like, you know, just.
Right.
Just everybody's about it. But.
Yeah. Is that how you guys go out at night a lot, right? Especially in the summer? I'm not a night person.
You're not? No, I don't actually go out a lot at night. I just bear with, like, I just suck it up and just go out at night. To be honest,
we try to go at like 6 a.m. during the summer. Like, you know, we're like, okay, Green Gate, 6:30. You know, like that's in the summer. That's what we do. And this time of year, we were like meeting at like 10. Now it's nice.
But, yeah, you can sleep in a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Temperatures get down, but no, there's a lot of UTV guys that go out in the summer. But like, we don't get the same kind of crowd here. As, like, other places, like Glamis and stuff, just, like...
Oh, yeah, no, very different. Yeah. It's not... I don't know, is it as much of a party scene here? Like, a lot of the UTV scene has, like, a party vibe to it. And I haven't gotten as much of an impression that that's the culture here within the UTV scene.
It's not. At least not with the people I
right.
know. But that's... I don't want to speak for everybody, but like I said, I think everybody that I work with or I'm around, so like Rob, Nate, Mike, all the guys at UTV Pros, MST Motorsports, those people are very, I would say, conscious of like the stigma surrounding us, and try to, like, I don't know, I would say we make the extra effort to not be that.
You don't want to be the stereotype.
Yeah. But I think that's something that, like, I'm curious, coming from, like, your guys' side of the off-road world, like, Is that just the stereotype that you see of us a lot of places? Like, you came from Arizona, so.
Right.
Is it a lot more?
There's a lot. It's different here than it was there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trashing of the trails that goes on. There's a lot of, you know, beer cans all over the trail.
Yeah.
Reckless driving in the UTV community there, at least my experience with it is, and I didn't have a lot of experience with it, mind you, they weren't as inclusive as you all are here. Like, so they kind of kept to themselves, and the Jeep people kind of kept to themselves, and they're, I mean, I'm like Switzerland, so I don't get involved with a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of blaming and all that kind of stuff, and probably some jealousy on both sides of things, I'm guessing, but there's definitely some trails that are really popular in the UTV community that are just trashed now, like
really?
Literally trashed from wall to wall, and they don't, you know, there are shootings. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff.
Like, what? Really?
Oh, yeah. Like crazy party scenes, sheriffs come in, like craziness.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So it's not like that here. Here it's a little bit more civilized and a little bit more, you know, mature maybe. Maybe it's a maturity thing. I'm not sure what it is, but definitely there was a lot more. Like there are areas, like trail called Lower Sycamore that I did like once or twice and I would never go back again because that's where the shootings and the craziness. And like I got little kids, man. I can't have random drunk people driving 80 miles an hour at me, you know, like they're, and then they flip you off even though they're the ones that are out of control. I'm like, wait, what? I'm just minding my business.
That's so foreign to me, and maybe I'm just a sheltered little snowflake. I don't know. But like, my experience, and maybe, like I say, it's maybe different because I came from, like, you guys are full size. I know that this is not technically a full size rig, but, like, you guys are full size to us. But
right,
I came from
right.
The full size off road community to the UTV community.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And so, like, I've always held those ties with, like, you know, and even made even more ties with, like I was saying, Ben and Curtis and their whole group, the whole Turkey Run group. And they've been
I don't know if I know them. Do I know them? What's the Turkey Run? Is that like an event you guys do? Or?
It's one of my my sister's boyfriend and their community, they come down here and do a lot of stuff in November. But, like, they're all deep creeps, you know? Like, that's just... But they've been fortunate enough to let me tag along, and yet they dragged me through stuff.
Winch you over things.
Yeah, exactly. I just leave the rope hooked up, and they just pull me through.
Right.
But it's – to get back to that, like, I don't have the experience of, like – even going to, like, Little Sahara up in, like, central Utah, I don't know that I've seen the crazy rowdiness. But I will say, I can see on, like, Trail Hero and UTV Takeover weekends, I do see an influx of people that seem to not care as much. And I will say, on the other side of the fence, I see Jeep people that, like, seem to have it in their hearts that they don't like them.
No, I think there's definitely some prejudice there. Like, we're not those people, but there is most definitely animosity, I think, in other areas. And some of it is justifiable because we've seen some beautiful trails completely trashed because of a community that just doesn't care. Like, they just beat the crap out of everything. And they, like, the rigs that have all the torque and they just tear up the trail sometimes. Like, if there's a way to do it without destroying the trail, like, you can wheel it and have fun, but you don't need to be going that fast, going up over, you know, delicate rocks and areas and such. Where am I going here? Let's see. Go over here. But don't worry, I'm up high, but you're not going to roll over.
Perfect.
Probably a little different for you.
I do think you're right, though. I think some of that's definitely justified, and I'm...
Like, I have never been to Glamis, but it doesn't sound like my scene either. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not a... Yeah, like, I'm not a go-fast, reckless, like I mentioned. I'm cautious. I live to wheel another day is my motto. You know, I do take risks. I'm not going to lie. I definitely have rolled twice, and I do sketchy stuff that I probably have no business doing sometimes. But I do it in a somewhat controlled manner.
Yeah. So what, I mean, I guess, because you're definitely more embedded in the Jeep community than I am. And like you say, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, what are things that you feel like people like myself, people like Rob, Nate, you know, other people in the UTV community, Royce from Santhollow.utv, like, what are, like, steps that you guys feel like you don't see us taking or we should be taking? Or is it like, hey, it's not even you guys. It's just you got to kind of figure out how to wrangle everybody else in your group.
I don't feel like it's you guys at all. Like, okay. I feel like you guys respect the trails. You're in the same boat we're in. Like, protect access. You know, enjoy the trails together. Take care of yourselves. Clean up behind yourselves. You guys are all really responsible. I wouldn't say that you guys have any of those challenges personally, but I do think that you're. Am I supposed to go that way or that way? Straight, right?
You can do either one.
Okay. I'm not sure what I'm doing. I get all turned around. It's not so pretty, though.
It is. It's a nice Bronco.
Mandatory. I can always tell people, like, you don't have to go on the actual trail. We make stuff up sometimes. But, I think education is a big part of it. I think so much of it is actually ignorance.
Right.
I never villainize an entire class of people. You know what I mean? Like, they're not bad people. Some of them probably just don't realize. I mean, there is an entitlement quality, that whole trash thing. I'm like, okay, they have to know that there aren't park rangers that are going to come out and clean up your beer cans for you. That's just not a thing.
Well,
you know?
The trash thing should just be basic as a human.
Yes.
I will pick up my trash.
Right. Pack it out.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to go to an OHV course to know that.
Right.
Like, that's
exactly.
Pretty simple. But that's one of the things, like, we get people saying, like, oh, I can't believe you have to take an OHV course in Utah anymore. Like, that's so dumb.
Like,
I'm not doing
like
it.
It's a 10-minute online thing. I took it just
well,
to see what it
thing.
Was.
It doesn't take long.
It's
the
simple.
One thing, if it drilled into anyone's head, just the simple telling how many people are behind you signals.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
For me, that 15 minutes is worth it for those hand signals alone.
Yep. Communication, yeah.
So that's just kind of my beef. Is like I see it from both sides of like.
Right, and I think
we
that's
need
ignorant.
To be better.
Yeah.
How do we be better? But on the other side of the fence too, like, and this, I don't know the guy. I don't know anything about the situation. I can understand the intent, but we had the two events out here with people putting concrete.
Oh yeah.
In the maze and in hard right turn.
Yeah.
And me personally, this is, you know, just Book of Abram. I don't think filling things back in is really the right move.
I agree.
I understand.
And every Jeep person would agree with you as well.
Okay. But that was, to be fair, that was done by a Jeep person.
By one Jeep person, yes.
Well, yes. But that kind of, see that response that you had just right there, it's not entirely fitting, but it is the, like, the one person.
Right.
Or the group of people within the subset of the community that you're just like, why are you doing this to us?
You're making us all look bad. And that's kind of how you guys feel, I'm sure, too. And that's what I said. I said, the thing out here that's been different is we interact with one another more here than in other places. I think in, like, Johnson Valley, the guys that are out there in the side-by-sides aren't hanging out with the Jeep guys who are out there.
No,
they're
segregating in their own communities.
Yeah, exactly. They're out with their own crowd, and they don't have events where they commingle or whatever, you know. I've gone on trail with a couple people. Like, Rich has been good about bridging that gap, I think, here. Rich Klein does a really good job about that. And that's how I've gotten to wheel with, you know, the UTV Pro guys and stuff. Like, I see Rob out here all the time. I wouldn't have known them probably if not for him and for, you know, him bridging that gap. So I think that's I'm all about community, right? So that's why I'm in all this social media nonsense in the first place, is I'm all about the community and building up the community and being part of the community.
Right.
Like, when I started, I didn't know about all this stuff either. You know, like, I didn't know about tread lightly principles. That's not necessarily intuitive to people.
No, for sure. You can.
Right.
That's not a pack it in, pack it out. That one is a little more off-road specific.
Right. But if you are new to this and you don't know, right?
Oh my gosh, so much wind. I'm sorry.
It is really wind. Sorry. But, you know, all that kind of stuff. You're brand new to all this, right?
Yeah.
I've never gone down this road, I don't think.
Woo. We're doing great.
That's not too bad. I just don't want to hit anything. Sometimes I bump for hits.
Didn't even hit anything. That was smooth as can be.
She's pretty good, this girl. I love my Jeep.
She's awesome.
She is really better than I imagined her being, let me tell you.
Yeah. See, right now we got a side-by-side guy over there doing side-by-side guy things over by the hot tubs.
See, but what's funny is that, like, back in Arizona, before I came here, I wouldn't have paid any attention at all to that. But now I, like, look to see if it's somebody I know. I wave. I want to know these people more because I feel like we have the opportunity. Whoops. Get on there. We have the opportunity to build community with people and to be part of the community. And it's all one community. It's not. And I don't know that every place is like that. Like you said, this area that we're in is so very special. And we all want to keep it special and keep it nice, right? So.
Agreed.
I feel like we've made it out here more than just, like, for one event, are more likely to protect it because we appreciate it, you know? So, and I think if we set the example, even in a more public way, because some of us have influence, I guess, than just everybody around, you know? The one community thing could catch on all over. And there's no reason it can't just be one community.
Yeah. Well, to me, so not to take this from an us versus them to another us versus them.
Right.
But as the off-road community as a whole, we will, I don't know. I don't want to sound doom and gloom, but we will lose. We already lost stuff.
Yes.
To Lasua.
Yeah.
And that whole thing in Moab. We already lost tons of trails. Guys I grew up with that grew up in Jeeps and eventually went to side-by-sides just because it's easier or whatever,
right,
lost their campsite that they've been camping at for the last 25 years in that land closure. So stuff like that does happen.
It's starting to hit home, yeah.
Yeah, and if we don't do something about that, and if we are busy tearing each other down or maybe not tearing each other down. And I feel like from the Jeep side of things, you guys are probably like, yeah, duh, we're trying to get you guys to not be that, which is, you know, that's pretty fair. But, like, we need to figure out a way to get it through people's heads that it's like we all have to, like, we don't have enough individual groups to be able to combat that.
Within the UTV community, do you guys have more of a global thing? Is it more like a region-specific type of community? Or is it like, you know, is your social media reach the same as like the Jeep community where it's kind of like throughout the nation?
No.
Or is it more just in your local area? Okay.
As far as I'm aware right now, it is incredibly fractured. I would say personally, some of the people that I know that have the most reach in the UTV side of things are like Royce from Sand Hollow UTV, but he's very well known in this community and not as much in other places. And I think that's I don't know what drives that actually. I think there is some bifurcation there because of like if you have a Jeep, anybody can buy a Jeep,
right,
and get use out of it day one.
Right.
To buy a side by side, you have to get a trailer. You have to go somewhere generally, unless you live in Utah where you can register it on the street.
Right.
But you can go, I don't know, a Jeep's definitely more common. Let's put it that way.
So funny because like the Jeep people look at the side-by-side as a lower price point to entry.
Well, it
we
is.
We look at it as four people have access to a side-by-side or a Polaris or a Razor,
right,
then can go out and drop 40 grand on a Jeep, right?
Right.
And that's like the newer Jeep people. There's certainly older Jeeps that are a lot more affordable, and that would probably be a more comparable thing, I would say, too. But there's, like, during COVID in particular, when everybody was getting off-road, right, people are going out buying Razors and chewing up. This is kind of at least how it was in Arizona because we were allowed out. But these people are buying them for the first time and taking them off-road and destroying the air. Like, the one area has never reopened. Like, the one access to lake, the lake in Arizona has never reopened because of how destructed it got.
That is such a shame. Like,
it is. And we can still get there, but it's a whole freaking lot harder to get there now. It used to be a place called Butcher Jones was a lot easier to get in that way. Now you got to go all the way over the, like, an hour or two drive to get to the, you know, the coves, whereas it used to be a lot easier to get in there. So,
well, and that's, you know, that's a real problem. I'm just saying from the aspect of, like, usability and, like, I don't know. I feel like if you're in Chicago, you can still find value in, like, someone's Jeep page.
Right.
But you've never known to, like I got to drive 30 miles. Oh, here comes Matt. Are we in trouble?
Well, he's really testing out his shocks right now.
But I would say that we'll wait and see what he has to say, and then we'll pick this back up if we need to.
Peter's probably out of juice. His dirt bike probably died. Hi. Yeah, I saw that. Testing out that suspension. How are the monkeys? How did Junior do? I don't see his dirt bike back there. Is it laying down? Oh, really? Oh. Oh, did he have fun, though? Yeah, we're heading back now, so. Okay. I was saying, I'm like, did his dirt bike fall out on that ride? Because I don't see it anymore. Yeah, they like that, though. I'm no fun, because I don't go fast. Yeah, I'm no fun. I don't go fast. Daddy goes fast. He's crazy.
Sorry, I kept him out a little bit.
Okay. We're heading back.
We'll figure out something to do.
What time is it? It's not that late. Yeah.
3:40. I don't know when this cut off, but...
Oh.
It's okay. We'll just turn it back on, and we'll leave this off and see. And then, okay, guys. I don't know when the video cut off, but I will definitely just have overlaid some stuff over this. But so you were saying that, like, the UTV thing is a lower barrier to entry, which you're totally right. Like, it's... The meme is... Polaris was like, we're going to just build pre-runner golf carts and finance them to idiots. But, right? Like,
right. And basically, I mean, like, anybody could get one, right, and take it right out and take it right on the trail, you know? So that's kind of – it's funny. You said that about the Jeep. It's like, we see it totally the opposite. That's super funny.
Well, I totally get what you're saying. I'm just saying, like, from the usability and, like, the – when people think off-road, I don't think they quite think Razor yet or UTV yet.
Yeah, maybe.
And so that, I think, brings the UTV communities where they're at tighter together instead of having such a, like, you have, I'm sure, followers and things from everywhere. And UTVs, they tend to maybe be a little more segregated into their own little units and areas.
Right, right. That's what I was thinking. Because, like, there's the whole Toyota thing, you know, then there's the Ford crowd, you know, like, there's, so we're, you know, We're like off-road community. Like, we're good wheeling with Toyotas. We're good wheeling with side-by-sides. We're good with all that. You know, as long as they're not jerks, I'm happy to wheel with anybody, you know? So
there's jerks
within the Jeep community. There's jerks within each community, you know? It doesn't have to be an us versus them mentality. But I know that has happened, you know, and I've gotten it too. Everybody doesn't have to love me, and that's okay. I don't see why not.
I would say, though, to your point of, like, everybody can just buy one, I would say, from my side of things, that can be a benefit. So there's a statistic that I just learned about recently that last year there were more side-by-sides sold in the U.S. than motorcycles.
And I'm not surprised to hear that.
But you think about the influx of people into the community – that those could all be productive members of the off-road community and help us have voice and weight for things like these trail closures. My goal is how do we make that and not the opposite? And it is really hard. Like, you buy a side-by-side and, like, that there is a lot of speed and fun and things that you have just signed your way into.
Yeah, you just picked it right up.
Yeah, and I don't know what the whole answer is. I'm hoping having these conversations can help
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, I think that the, I think just the fact that they can go fast and they have that much torque.
Yeah.
It can cause more damage because of that. At least, like all that washboardy stuff and like all that kind of stuff, from what I've been told, comes from all that torque from the side-by-side wheels going over that. I certainly don't have any torque. It's not something I'm...
You're just saying that because you've got a V6 with five cylinders.
I have, I have no torque to bring to the party, so I say it somewhat enviously that they have torque to be able to create that type of a quality to the to the trail. Beyond that, I do think that even when you get a new Jeep, like I didn't know how to air down my tires, I didn't know how to disconnect my sway bars. I don't know anything about that. Like 90% of people who own Jeeps never take them off road. And if they take them off-road, they don't take them off-road the way we take them off-road.
No.
They may go on a road like this, possibly.
They go see the fall colors, you know.
Right, exactly. They take a forest road or whatever to go camping or something along those lines. They don't really rock crawl or really hit the trails the way that we do.
No, this is like I say, this is not a beginner Jeep at all.
Not an entry-level product, you know. But... No. And to be honest, 5 years ago, if you told me this is who I would be today, I'd have laughed in your face because this is still just surprising to me. But anyway, I freaking love my Jeep. I love my Jeep life. I love off-roading. I love the community. And I'm a huge fan of new experiences and getting other people out into this life. Like, you know, especially women, you know, I always get questions like, what are advice for women getting into off-roading? And I'm like, first of all, it's not really a sex-specific It doesn't matter if you're male or female. Men and women can drive equally, in my opinion. I don't really understand why it's always a big deal that I'm a female to people. But, women, I've seen women on the trail who get out and have their husband drive on the scarier parts or whatever. And I get fear. You know, trust me, I have fear sometimes too. But the only way through it is through it. You got to face it and take it on and challenge yourself to grow and try new things.
For sure. One of those...
One up you, man, baby.
Yeah.
One up you, man. That's
one of those
hashtag.
High torque individuals tearing up the trails.
All six of his cylinders are firing, baby. But he's got the racing suspension. He's got the racing shocks, so he's all about
moving quicker.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting that when you said, like, you know, I didn't know how to air down. I didn't know all that. How did you pick that up?
I joined some Facebook groups and I made some friends that were Jeep friends and went off-road with them. And they taught me how. First time we took this Jeep off-road, she had 35-inch tires. I just got her on. I got a 2-inch lift on her. I thought she was all that. And she was still black at the time. And we went up to Sedona and there's this trail up there called Schnibbly Hill Road. It's a badge trail. And it's freaking bumpier than anything. It's horrible. It's beautiful, but horrible trail. Absolutely awful experience. And I think coming off that tire lot, it had 42 PSI in my tires. So, people say, we're like, teeth are like falling out of our heads that we're like rattling so much. So we stop, we pull over, we air down. We don't have tools or any of that crap. We're taking some air out of the tires. We take it down to like 35. We feel like we've taken a lot of air out of the tires. Because I came from the flat tires are bad mentality, I wasn't raised that driving around on flat tires was a good thing, So
yeah, well, everybody who has a car,
it's
counterintuitive.
Right. I'm like, this is what you do on purpose? So we took it down to 35, we get back in, we drive well. I'm like, this still is horrible. So we get back out, take it down to like 28. Get back in, drive. It's still horrible. We stopped like 4 or 5 times and we're only got down like 15, 16. And then we could actually drive without wanting to die. I mean, it was awful. And, it was pretty funny. So yeah, that was my first experience gearing down. So yeah, so for a long time, we would go out with those groups to help the newbies, because I'm a pay it forward kind of girl too. I'm like, I didn't know. Yeah. How would you know? So, disconnect your sway bar. What the heck are you talking about? What the freak's a sway bar? I wasn't a mechanic. I don't know any of this crap. But, yeah, we just learned by trial and error. And, thankfully some nice friends who said, hey, comfortable if you disconnect that thing.
Yeah.
So,
I wonder if that's something – because as you're mentioning this, I don't know – I wonder if that's something that – I mean, we have some groups. We have Rob's group. We have Sand Hollow Extreme. Shout out to them.
Right.
Side-by-Side Society with Nate. But I wonder if we could do a better job of, how do we find these people, these COVID riders, that just bought the machine?
Right. The newbies,
how do we find them and say, no, come with me. and let's figure out how to do this in a way that doesn't suck for everybody.
I mean, there's, I bet you there is an opportunity there. Teach them, like, how to read lines, like how to choose a route to take. What trail is the most compatible with the type of build you have? What size tires you're running?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, there's a huge opportunity. I'm sure a lot of the new people would love to go out with somebody and have somebody spot for them and show them how to, you know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a learning curve there, just like there is in the Jeep world.
Right. Because I wonder how many people in our world just get like, well, this is what we do. If you show up, we'll show you how it's supposed to go without taking into account the fact that, like, we've just had a massive influx of people that don't know what
they're
doing.
It's not slowing down either.
And it's not slowing down. It's growing. And we, as people that already exist here and know kind of like the rules of the road, know the tread lightly, know the, you know, this is how you're going to flip yourself, whatever. I wonder if we could put together a something
safety.
To say, like, hey, this is how other people aren't going to hate you. Come with me. We'll show you how to do this. You can still use all 225 horsepower in your 2,000-pound machine, but you got to do it in a way that's not going to, like, we got to come together, guys. So maybe that's something we can look into doing. But
yeah, I do think that, you know, education is probably your best avenue, because I honestly don't think everybody's evil who has or is doing these things. I honestly think so much of it is ignorance, you know.
Agreed. So, well, that's an interesting thought. Well, I'll talk to some people, but that's that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out. Is like, how do we make it so the Blue Ribbon Coalition doesn't have a job?
Yeah, right. I know. Poor Ben's exhausted.
Agreed. So.
Video while we were.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. That's crazy. So, alrighty. Well, we'll ride with you guys again for sure.
Awesome.
I'll see what the Turkey Run folks are doing if you guys want to come out with us, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. Let us know.
Anything you want to plug? Your channel? I'll tag your channel.
Yeah, I'm Aqua Jeep Girl on Instagram and Aqua Jeep Girl on YouTube, and I'm Roxy Jeep on TikTok because Aqua Jeep Girl was already taken when I started. I know, really random.
So,
but appreciate it.